It's a privilege for us to be here tonight. I always appreciated the gifts that are represented in this congregation. And to hear testimony and to see evidences that you're following the scriptures, that's really a blessing to us on the other side of the river. And Lord's blessing to each of you. I appreciated Brother Dan's ministry over the years, and it's always good to give a good brother support, and that's one of our reasons for being here tonight, often to see family as well. We invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. Sometimes when you have opening devotions, you're not sure what the scripture will be. I remember one time I was preaching on Nehemiah 8, and they had trouble finding a preacher. I say trouble, at least one time. If you know what Nehemiah 8 is, there are some names in there that you don't just pronounce every day. I can read Cain and a few Abel, and I always remember, I think it's Nehemiah said, read this scripture distinctly. And it's a privilege to be able to read the Word of God and have devotions this evening. Turn to Genesis 4, we were reading from verses 1 through 16. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Scripture's been written a long time ago. There's a lot of content here, some principles that we need to recognize. And so as to be prepared for the message of the evening, let us kneel together and pray.
Again, this evening we bring you greetings in Jesus' great name. Thankful for your presence, encouraged by it, and counting on your prayers. Tonight we want to think on the subject, the gospel according to Abel. You know, Abel's life began and ended in the less than 16 verses that were read for us just a little while ago. Hebrews 11:4 says that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What is he saying? If he could be here with us this evening, what would he say? The Bible doesn't give us any words that he spoke. We read that he and his brothers spoke in the field. In verse 8, and verse 10 of Genesis 4 there says that his blood cried from the ground, but we don't have any words that he spoke while he was alive. What is the message that Cain would bring, or Abel would bring? What is the gospel according to Abel? We want to look at his life. We want to look at what he did and see if we can gain some insight into what he might say to us if we were here tonight. I wonder what your mental picture is of Abel. First of all, think of who his parents were. Adam and Eve, handcrafted, as it were, by God himself. I imagine that they were perfect specimens of humanity. They had to be strong and agile and intelligent and coordinated and senses all working perfectly, perfect eyesight, keen hearing, perfect taste, everything perfect about them. Imagine that. And then children being born to that. From what we know of genetics and so forth today, they talk about gene pools. Imagine that gene pool that God created in Adam and Eve, and how their first offspring must have been amazing specimens of humanity as well, physically speaking. The idea that man evolved from some lower form of life and got better and smarter and more complicated as time went on isn't what happened. It's not what the Bible says, and it's not what we observe in nature either. I believe that they were ultimate physically as creatures of God. I don't know how long they lived like that. They not only had perfect bodies or just amazing physical features, but Adam and Eve lived for a while with souls that were equally as pure and clean. Imagine that. No sin in their life at all ever had been. Perfectly pristine in their soul, totally free and clean and innocent, with no inhibitions, nothing to hide, everything just perfect. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I don't know how long they lived that way, but before Cain was born and Abel and any of their children, something happened. And I wonder, I can't imagine that Adam and Eve didn't think about that time before that and probably talk to their children about what life was like before they had sinned. I believe if Abel was here with us tonight, he might tell us something of what his parents told him about what life was like before they had sinned. I believe he would tell them that when that event that we call the fall, that time when the serpent deceived his mother and his dad joined in doing the one thing that God told them they should not do, that the things that changed were far more than we can really comprehend. That's the day that guilt entered their life. That's the day that shame and sorrow and pain and the impulse to hide and to be deceitful and to divert blame came rushing into their experience. It was a day when pain was felt and work became tiresome. And Abel never lived in that perfect sinless environment and situation, but I imagine it was something that his parents talked about and that he, like we, wondered what that really would have been like. Cain and Abel were born sometime after that momentous day. They were born with twisted souls like you and I were. They were born with an inclination to choose and do evil. What was wrong and what is evil, just like you and I are. Now, I believe that Abel would tell us that in his heart and the hearts of each one of us, in our fleshly human nature, there's the potential to do the evil of any evil that can be imagined. It's in our fallen nature. So utterly devastating was the effect of that sin as it invaded the human family. I believe these are some of the things that Abel would talk to us about if he were here tonight. The Bible doesn't tell us, as I said, anything he said. And so the message is the message we must take from his life. He's dead. He's still speaking. What is the gospel according to Abel? Again, that verse there in chapter 4, Hebrews 11, says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." There's something about the gift that he brought that is a message that we need to get from the life of Abel. Back in Genesis, verses 3 to 5, let me read them again. "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." We're not really told so, and so we got to imagine. And if I imagine things that aren't right, or maybe I know I imagine some things that really can't be backed up with Scripture, and if I'm way off, you'll have to tell me. I won't be offended by that. But we're not told, but it seems reasonable, does it not, that God perhaps had told them what he expected from them as an act of worship. At any rate, it seems Cain and Abel showed up at the same time, at the same place, with an offering for God. Was it just a coincidence, or had God told him he was expecting them there? Cain, he was a farmer, a tiller of the ground. He had brought some of his produce as an offering. And Abel, who was a keeper of the sheep, sacrificed one or more of his young lambs and offered it or them as a sacrifice to God. Again, we're not told, but I don't find it hard to believe that they each brought the best they had. I believe they brought the best they had. And the Bible in Hebrews 4 here calls both of them sacrifices. They're called offerings. In Genesis, the New Testament word there is sacrifices. And both of them were something of value to the giver. They didn't just offer unto God something that cost them nothing. They brought something that was good, something that to them was worth something, something that cost them. It was valuable to them. I imagine that the gift that Cain brought was very, very beautiful pile produce. You know, you grow gardens and you see beautiful fruit, peaches, tomatoes, sweet corn. And just sometimes we know how it tastes. We rejoice in the bounty, and it's just pretty as a picture. They put it on calendars. So beautiful. And I imagine that the quality of the soil, the quality of the seed, the growing conditions right there, back at the beginning, were so ideal. I imagine that fruit was almost as impossible for us to imagine how beautiful it was as it is to imagine a sinless life. I'm sure it was impressive and good looking. And I believe he brought the best he had. And I don't think it's a stretch to believe that it looked a lot nicer than Abel's slain lamb. That wouldn't have been a very pretty picture. So why was it that God had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but not unto Cain and to his offering? What made Abel's sacrifice better? Cain brought an excellent sacrifice, but the Bible says that Abel's was more excellent. It doesn't really use the word excellent for Cain's, but it does say that Abel's was more excellent. They must have both been impressive sacrifices. And what made the difference is that word right near the beginning of chapter or verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Under the Mosaic law that came years later, offerings which included produce such as Cain brought were there. But even in that system, the blood sacrifices came first, because the blood sacrifices were the sacrifices that dealt with sin. Sin has to be dealt with first in our life before anything else. It's the greatest need that any of us have. It's significant, I think, that the first act of worship in the Bible that's acknowledged by God as being acceptable to him is a blood sacrifice, symbolic of the need for sin to be atoned for. And a life of true faith in any of our hearts and lives only begins when the sacrifice for sin has been applied by faith. It won't start before that. That's the beginning place. I can't maybe prove it. There's Bible scholars that think it's just an act of faith. But I think it was an act of faith. But I believe that both Cain and Abel knew what God expected and what he wanted of them. He wanted them, first of all, to acknowledge that sin is a personal thing, that they had sinned, that they were in need of forgiveness. And he wanted them to acknowledge that sin is deadly, that it kills, that life must be shed for life. And I believe that he wanted them to admit to the fact that they could not earn the right standing with God that they needed. There was nothing they could give, nothing they could bring, nothing they could do that would satisfy God. By faith, they had to believe that he would forgive their sin. And that was symbolized by the shedding of blood of a innocent animal. I believe Cain and Abel both understood that. And that's what Abel did. In faith, Abel gave God what he wanted. He worshiped God the way God said he wanted to be worshiped. He acknowledged, I believe, his need for God's forgiveness. Cain, in effect, said, you know, what I have here is really nice, and it's good enough. It's not exactly what you wanted, but it's really good. I'll come to you. I'll worship you. I'll give you my best. but it's what I want to give you. And you really should be satisfied. You should be happy. You should be impressed. But God wasn't satisfied, and he wasn't happy, and he wasn't impressed, and it wasn't good enough. And God had no regard for Cain's sacrifice. You know, coming to God in any other way than by the way he prescribes is a false religion. And the way God, from the very beginning to now, has always prescribed that people come to him is by faith. By faith, we understand things that cannot be understood in any other way. We can never come to God with the fruits of our own lives and labor and expect him to be satisfied. Jesus made it abundantly clear when he was with us that he, speaking of himself, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. You must believe that. You must put your faith in him, or you can't get there. Acts 4:12 says that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Again, Jesus is the only way. There is a warning in Proverbs 14:12, and that says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way that came could seem pretty good, seem reasonable, seem logical, makes sense. It's best. It was beautiful. But it was not. But it was not what God wanted, and the end was death. It's the way Cain chose. He knew about God. He worshiped God. He acknowledged God. But he was unwilling to submit his will and way to what God prescribed and approach him the way God said he wanted to be approached. And verse 16 of chapter 4 there in Genesis says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And since that time, multitudes have chosen to go that same way, out from the presence of the Lord. He followed him down the broad road that Jesus described, the broad road that leads to destruction. And Jude says, woe to them that go in the way of Cain. Those that choose that way will not have things end well for them, just as they did not end well for Cain. We can live the way we want, but unless we come to God by faith in His covering for our sin, we'll be forever separated and have to spend eternity separated from him. Neglecting God's way and trying to establish our own way, trying to become righteous before God in any way than by faith, just will never work. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel's sacrifice demonstrated his faith in God. It wasn't the sacrifice itself, because the blood of bulls and goats cannot cover sin, but it was the faith in God, doing what God prescribed, that we have the testimony that God testified of his gifts, that he was righteous. Well, let me back up here. You know that coming in faith is the key, and that first sacrifice, that first act of worship that is accepted by God that we read about in Scripture here, was a sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice that was rejected. Abel brought the sacrifice of a lamb in faith. It was accepted by God. In that situation, it was a lamb for a man. Later on, as God's nation grew and the children of Israel prospered and were down in Egypt all those years and were ready to come out. They have the Passover, and then a lamb was to be shed. A lamb's blood was shed. The blood was to be put on the lintels and on the doorposts of the house, and the family was to stay in there covered by that blood. It was a lamb for a family. And then in the Mosaic Law, the Day of Atonement, a lamb was shed. A lamb's life was taken, his blood shed, and the blood was to atone for the sin of the nation. It was a symbol of the Lamb of God who one day came and on a day we call Good Friday, shed his blood for the sin of the world. A lamb for a man, a lamb for a family, a lamb for a nation, the Lamb of God for the sin of the world. Obedient faith, doing in faith what God has said he should do, is how Abel obtained a witness and the testimony that he was righteous. Faith is the one thing that changes a person's relationship with God. Talent won't do it. Good looks won't do it. Ritual won't do it. Bringing gifts won't do it. Trying harder, doing better, none of those things do it. What makes us or changes our relationship with God is faith, because that's the way God prescribed that we must approach him. Obedient faith was the way Abel came. Disobedient, willful disobedience is the way Cain came, and that made all the difference. And so, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained testimony that he was righteous, God bearing witness of his gifts, or testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You know, a life of faith has a message that carries on after that life ends. And one of the things of Abel's message was that when he was slain, because of his faithfulness and the ire that it stirred up in his brother, his blood cried unto God from the ground for vengeance. And I suppose that Cain was one of those who the Apostle John saw under the altar in Revelation 6 when the fifth seal was opened. And it says that John saw the souls there of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were there crying out to God to avenge their blood. And you know, God will avenge their blood. So what's the gospel according to Abel? The gospel according to Abel is that the only way we can come to God and be accepted by him is by faith. Faith in the provision that he has made for us to approach him. Faith in his Son, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood for the sin of the world. That faith is demonstrated by taking God at his word, doing what he says, obeying him, not following our own inclinations and self-will. And that if we refuse to submit our will and way to God, then God will judge sin, and it will be severely judged. We will either by faith accept God's remedy for our sin, or we'll bear our sin ourself. It's an awful choice. It shouldn't be hard to make, but it requires the surrender of our will. Is there anyone tonight who has faith in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ to be right with God? Maybe you say, well, I'm not really trusting in my works. I don't think I'm that good, but But have you ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, and you know you should, then you're in the way of Cain. And we're either in the way of Cain or with Abel, having put our faith in Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, you want to do that tonight, we invite you to indicate that by standing as we sing a bit of an imitation hymn. 84 in the green book. Hymn number 84 in the green book.